It's Monday, and the place to watch the football game is Pizza Rock at Green Valley Ranch. $5 personal one-topping pizzas and $4 drink specials. You gotta hang now with Cofield & Company at Pizza Rock inside Green Valley Ranch on ESPN Las Vegas.
Jets Browns on the way. Intriguing game. My God, has the season outlook for the Browns changed, or has it? We'll get to what happened to Big Ben and the Steelers. On the Jets side, I mean, most people think the Jets are going to get lit up here. Trevor Siemian is in for the mono-inflicted Sam Darnold. Do the Jets have a chance to win it? Do the Jets have a chance to compete in this game? We're at Pizza Rock. Monday Night Football is on the way. We'll go to the pregame at 4:30, so stick around for the pre and then the kickoff shortly after 5 o'clock. Big Five time.
Battle-Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Four. Number five.
Little baseball coming out. This is interesting. We'll give the guy a little free pub. Remember that dude, Mattress Mac, in H-Town, who a couple of years ago offered a promotion. Hey, if the Astros win the World Series, your money's refunded. He lost, I think it was $13 million on that promotion. Well, he's back, which is pretty freaking ballsy, but it's kind of brilliant. The Astros are one of the favorites to win the World Series. Now, the details on this, one, it has to be on a bedroom set. I don't know if it's furniture too, but just let's talk bedroom set. In excess of $3,000.
Okay, so you got to really spend.
Okay, you got to spend some good money here. How do I bet this so that I make out either way? What's the best way I can... You can't completely insure it.
No.
But I want you to think about this. Okay, so I got the Astros, right? If I buy the furniture, I got the Astros. The Dodgers are actually the favorite. And then the Yankees are third choice. And the Yankees are around like 3-1. Well, I'll double check the odds, but the Dodgers are like 2-1. Astros are 225. So, can I bet the Yankees and the Dodgers to a certain amount to try to insure, or is it just too risky? I could be, because you're really not going to be a triple loser if you wanted the furniture. Hey, you know what? You're taking the risk already by spending in excess of $3,000.
Yeah.
So how do I do this?
Well, I think you'd try to find a place, and we've talked about some places in town being aggressive that offer a no price.
Ooh.
So if you can try to find a no price,
I hadn't even thought of that now we've got the no price.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the ideal way to go about it. You could also, you'd have to crunch numbers and try to figure out what the matchups would be and how it's going to move along. But you could certainly bet on the other teams throughout the series. I imagine the Astros will be a favorite. Who are they? I'm trying to think who they'd be matched up with. But you would bet the other team as you went along and bet against them in each round. That could work to a degree.
Let me give you the numbers as of today. Superbook USA 4 hours ago. Astros plus 225, Dodgers 250, Yankees 3. So if you're going to get a no price on the Astros, if you can still get it, you're looking at what? If it's plus 225, minus 300, minus 325, minus 275,
minus
would be
275.
You'd be lucky to get that, I think. But
yeah.
So just do that.
I think so. Are you thinking about going down there? I mean, you have to take into consideration the flight to go pick it out, I guess.
No, I'm not thinking about going down there.
Okay.
I have invested in enough bedroom furniture.
Oh, this could be free.
I'm not a furniture guy. I hate it. It's a waste of money. It'll be free.
It could be. We can find the right price.
I want you to crunch the numbers for me, though.
Okay.
I'm
going to
give you like a, I'll give you like a $4,000 bedroom purchase, and I need to know what I can do to back this up.
All right.
I bet you a lot of sharps would tell you. Well, am I wrong on this, that you're better off betting it along the way?
Yeah, I would think so. But, I think it's going to depend on the matchups and the price and everything else.
As the Astros progress.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're going to get a lot of plus numbers on the opposition until they meet up against the Yankees and if they do play the Dodgers.
I think definitely getting the no price is the easiest way to go about figuring it out.
We're in a new era now where books are actually putting up the no price, which is freaking amazing. How about this, Astros related? Is this good or bad for Vegas? There are rumors out there that there is an Atlantic City bettor who wants to put $5 million down on the Astros.
Wow.
For the World Series.
I don't think anybody in Vegas will take it. But it's intriguing. I think that there'll certainly be some eyes open. I don't know that anybody will take it anywhere in, you know, especially at
well,
that
it's not
number.
Here. It's not here. It's Atlantic City. FanDuel has right. made a request. This is according to the lines and also Dustin Gauker on Twitter. FanDuel's made a request to take a bet in excess of $5 million on the Astros. What do you think?
So they've requested. So they'll
supposedly
take it.
The New Jersey limit is $5 million. And they want to bust through that. This person wants to put more than $5
million. I mean, I guess if they have it and they bring it to the table and... I don't know if they wheelbarrowed in or how you roll that into the casino.
Are you ready for this one? The other part of the rumor is, guess who wants to put the bet down?
Oh, boy.
Mattress guy.
Oh, okay.
So we think we're getting one on him by guaranteeing a victory and trying to play both sides. He's coming over the top.
Well, if they win.
How brilliant is this? Because he probably wants, since he lost like $13 million last time, he's like, yeah, I'd like to put $9, $12 million on it.
So then if they win, and if he gets that plus 225 price, then he's winning a bunch of money. He's theoretically making it up in all the people that are buying the furniture.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
this is tremendous. This is tremendous.
Good for him.
Now, you started out going down the path that we really should go down. Why are people in Vegas not calling this guy? Let's go. Out here.
Well, there's a lot of corporate, you know, backed books here.
There's a guy downtown who ain't corporate.
That's a tough one to
take. Think about this, right? We got
to
move on.
But then you'd have to cheer. For Verlander, or against Verlander, I guess.
Mm.
The guy downtown, I'm saying. I don't know. It's tough.
Right? Why can't Derek Stevens... Why can't he take it?
Good.
Should we text Tony Miller right now? Let's go. Get Tillman Fertitta on the phone. H-Town versus H-Town.
Let's find out what he says. I'll send the text right now.
$9 million. Come on. Someone's got to take this.
It's a lot. That's a lot of
yes,
cash.
Yes. Captain Obvious. All right, next up.
Number four.
All right, Adam, what'd you make of Vic Fangio? So, listen, last week with the Broncos are kicking field goals late in the game, and now there's this whole narrative now. We got all these gambling experts and people we actually respect, like John Murray over at the Westgate, who are like, enough with the field goals all the time. Fangio apparently listens. He's like, all right, we're down, end of the game, we're going for the win. We're going Tom Osborne, you know, against Miami in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Let's do this. No time. I mean, you know, we're not going to overtime. Screw this. We're going for the win. He gets the two-point conversion, right? Bears come down, kick a miracle field goal, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, engineers a drive to set up the field goal. And then this is what I read, Adam, on Twitter. Doug Kazarian, your buddy at ESPN, says, issue with two-point decisions. You're really going for lead and not necessarily going for win. What? So with 31 seconds left, that's part of the equation. If you tie the game with a PAT, then the opposing team is conservative. But in this case, Chicago forced to be aggressive, and Denver burned. So what Fangio did was wrong, according to the Daily Wager host, Doug Kazarian, critical thinker out of Brown. Doug Kazarian?
Well, I think this is obviously very results-based analysis, no question, which is the lowest form of thinking possible. But... I don't know that he's saying it's the wrong thing. I think he's just saying it is true, and I have noticed it every time that you turn it on and it's the last minute of the game and a team scores down seven, the announcer's like, are they going to go for the tie or go for the win? Well, they're not going for the win. I mean, they're going for the lead. And I think that's what he's getting at. But he then takes the second step of basically insinuating that you're causing the other team to be aggressive.
But here's the thing. Aren't you playing percentages? You're playing against the Bears' offense. You're playing against Mitch Trubisky.
Of course.
You're playing the probability of them going probably not 80 yards because they don't have to score a touchdown, but we're looking at what? 45 yards? 40 yards to get in position?
And a team that's had field goal issues.
And a team that's had field goal issues.
Of course.
That, like, there's a probability there that you're playing. Like, right. Fangio actually comes across as new age guy, and instead he's getting slammed for not being conservative. I can't have it both ways.
I think you made the right decision. I took Doug's tweet meaning more the first part of Doug's tweet means it's more a shot at announcers. Now, the rest of it is kind of leading you to believe that he thought it was a wrong decision, which you can't say that after it doesn't work out.
Explain what you said.
Ridiculous.
Results-based thinking. Because here's the thing. I might have missed it. I didn't see an angry tweet about Doug Marrone doing it against the Jaguars.
Right.
I'm sorry, doing it against the Texans for the Jaguars. Yeah. Why didn't we see it there? Because they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't win.
And because they didn't then give up a field goal on the other side. The whole thing is crazy. But results-based thinking is just, it's not having an opinion on a decision and then going one way or the other when after you see how it worked out. Well, like, if you go for it on fourth and one in a certain situation, it's not a correct decision based on if you get it or not. It's a correct decision or it's not a correct decision. You can't make that determination after it's already over, and you just see people do this all the time. I wouldn't have done that. Well, really, before the play, you said you would have gone for it. No, I don't think so. Well, that's because it didn't work out. Like, that's not how it works, and that is incredible. That is the most simplistic form of thinking that possibly exists in humans.
Top three stories.
Number three.
Is that more simplistic than Giants management? Are they on the same page? Pat Shurmur, after the game yesterday, another loss against the Bills this time, won't guarantee that Eli Manning is starting. Now, think about this. When they drafted Daniel Jones, the GM said this may be an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation, and Daniel may not play for three seasons.
Right.
Now, in week three of the first season, the door is being opened for Danny Jones.
As it should. What are they playing for? I have no idea. In fact, I just saw the suggestion on Twitter that they should offer Eli Manning for Jalen Ramsey. Of course you should. I think the Jaguars would laugh in your face. But find something to do with Eli Manning. Playing for the Giants as the starting quarterback right now is not the answer. Because if this was a team with, like, a great defense that needed the quarterback to be experienced, to just make plays, to, you know, figure out a way to win some games for you, that's fine. The Giants aren't playing for any of that. The Giants are playing for the future. There's a reason they brought him in. Let him play at some point. Now, if you don't think he's ready to go out there because he doesn't know the offense and, like, the offensive line is brutal and he could get hurt, like, those are different decisions. Like, I think that's what's going on in Miami. Miami is like, no, we're not going to – we like Josh Rosen. He might have a future. We're not going to get him hurt behind this offensive line that we're not even trying to win.
So why don't the Giants just go with that and let Eli Manning take all the blows until he basically can't stand and then Danny Jones plays?
Right. I think that's the determination right now. Would he be healthy out there? Would he be okay to manage the offense and to stand behind whatever offensive line they have and play? And if not, then you let Eli Manning take the
– It's a real debate. It's a real debate. Do you play the young guy with the risk that he may get physically or mentally destroyed? Top two.
Number two.
Boy, the Saints. Drew Brees goes down yesterday. That game got ugly, huh?
Yeah.
Close game, and Rams get a couple of impressive yak plays, a good punt return. They wind up rolling the Saints, but the story is Brees now out, thumb injury, 6 weeks. What's going to happen to the Saints with Teddy Bridgewater, who is arguably... I mean, I would have said before the season, Jacoby Brissett was the best backup in the league. Bridgewater probably next. Their schedule, Adam.
I'll still take Tyrod.
That's a good point. Tyrod's in there. At Seattle, Cowboys home. This is the Saints schedule. Now with Bridgewater, 6 weeks. At Seattle, home Cowboys, home Bucks, at Jags, at Bears, home Cardinals. It's not impossible.
No.
It's not impossible. I would actually be pissed off if I'm Sean Payton if we don't turn out 3-3 out of that.
Yeah,
minimum.
That's what I thought looking at it. 3-3, I think, would be the ceiling, the floor.
Okay.
I think you want to at least win three of those games. Now, also take into consideration, yesterday they had a call go against them again, which somehow I don't know how it's possible it keeps happening.
That was ridiculous.
Awful.
Because it may have been a pass, it may have been a fumble, but why the blank are you blowing the whistle? Cam Jordan picks it up, goes 80 plus yards for a touchdown. They're like, yeah, we blew it dead. Why are you blowing anything dead now with replay?
Well,
you morons.
And I've it's one of my things I've harped on 100 times. That's why they need to change the rule and not make it clear and obvious in the replay language. Because the referees now try to make calls and not use the replay as a, you know, as a safety net. They want to try to make the right call on the field all the time because replay has such a high standard that they try to make that call. If you would just tell them, hey, let every single play out, and then we'll officiate off the replay, I'd be totally fine with that, and I'd be totally fine with letting it go. As it is now, I want you to try to make the call. I want you to try to blow the play dead because you have such a high standard to reverse it. Change that standard, and then referees, I think, would be more willing to just let plays play out, and then they could just fix them based on what they think the right call is on the replay, but that's not where they are right now, and in that case, the referees look like idiots. They make a horrific call and totally screw over the Saints once again. And I think it's the standard of replay that does that to them. But yeah, that's unacceptable. You can't allow those things to happen. But the Saints, obviously losing Drew Brees, they had the call go against them. It's a tough situation anyway. The Rams made some big plays when they needed them. All those things happened, and I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is a disaster. I think he's going to be fine, and I think they will win 3 of those 6 games coming up. And they'll be fine when Drew Brees is able to come back. If he's able to come back after the 6, and I think there's a bye week right in the end there too, so he'd have another week. So, yeah, I think as it stands, if those are the 6 games he misses and he's fine after that, I think the Saints will be just fine.
These are the teams that should be watching the next 6 weeks of Teddy Bridgewater very closely. Because make no mistake about it, Bridgewater's trying to win games now. He's also trying to get himself a real deal. He got a solid deal, right? 1 year, $7.25 million to be the backup. He wants to be a starter again, I'm sure. These are the teams, I think, who should be watching him closely. The Panthers. Cam could be gone. You don't know what's going on with Cam Newton. You may need a bridge. You may need a quarterback for the next 3 years, right?
Yeah.
The Broncos. Right? They've got Drew Lock. Screw Flacco. All right, so Broncos and Panthers. The Chargers. I know you hate this one, but they should be watching them.
They've got their quarterback.
I'm not sure they do in Tyrod Taylor. These are the two other teams that should be watching Teddy Bridgewater. My guess is Bridgewater plays well. Brees finishes out the season. Teddy B keeps the Saints in the playoffs, you know, in the run for the playoffs. He's going to have, you know, some teams going after him. But that said, I don't think he's getting Nick Foles money. I think he would get like a 3-year deal for like $45 million. These are the other two teams that should be watching Teddy Bridgewater very closely. Bears.
Yeah.
This guy's not the quarterback of the future.
No.
Don't even start entertaining any kind of extension. Bears better keep a real close eye on Teddy Bridgewater. And the other team, if this thing starts shooting at $35 million a year, $37 million a year, the Cowboys better keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
Because I'll take Teddy Bridgewater for $15 million over Dak Prescott for $35 million.
So, absolutely 100% true on that. We've talked about keeping quarterback salaries down, and that's a huge way to win. Don't give those quarterbacks those crazy long extensions and try to find cheaper options or quarterbacks on rookie deals. I would throw the Steelers in there too. I think the Steelers should probably be monitoring what's going on there as well.
Top story.
Number one.
It is the Steelers, unless you've been under a rock today. You know that Big Ben is out for the year. Roethlisberger, elbow injury. Was feeling the elbow before the game. I don't know if this has been a long-time thing. If it's been a long-time thing, then shame on the Steelers for going into the season with Mason Rudolph and, you know, Josh Dobbs, who got traded as your backup. This is really easy for me to say in hindsight, but I do believe this. The Chargers did it with an old-ass quarterback. The Saints did it with an old-ass quarterback. The Steelers should have had insurance, real insurance, behind Big Ben. He's a lumbering, gigantic dude. No one could have predicted the injury, but it could happen, and now you're facing a season with Mason Rudolph.
Well, I think here's the thing where they would argue with you. I think that they believe they did. And I think they believe Mason Rudolph is a legitimate starting quarterback and can be the guy. And I think this is the year that they find out what they have in him. Because I fully believe that they think he can be a starting quarterback, and I don't know that they're ready for that time to be right now. But I think they absolutely wanted him to be the next guy and to be groomed under Roethlisberger and then take over down the road. And they'll get an early look at exactly what he is. And based on how they've played so far, I don't know where they were going with Roethlisberger anyway. So get him out there, see what he does. I think he looked okay yesterday. I think he can have some, you know, impact positively on the team. And, you know, he's not Roethlisberger. He's a different kind of player. But I don't think that they're having nightmares about Roethlisberger being out, because I think they wanted to see Mason Rudolph anyway. It's also interesting. They can't bring Landry Jones back as a backup, which is would have been an option, because he knows the system.
This is amazing.
Yeah. He knows the system. He probably would have fit pretty well coming back in there as a backup, bringing him in as an insurance policy. But he is contractually obligated to the XFL. He can't sign an NFL deal. He's stuck in a league that hasn't even started yet.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
I hope he got a big payday.
I don't think he did.
I mean, that is totally insane. Could the Steelers go complete Colts when Manning went down, or Spurs when David Robinson went down?
Just totally tank?
Just pull the freaking plug and it's Tua or Justin Herbert time.
They could, but I don't think they're bad enough to possibly... Well, I guess, I mean, if you play for second, nobody is going to out-tank the Dolphins. So, like, you can't even try. Like, I don't know. If you went 0-16, I don't know how the tiebreakers would work out. But the Dolphins, I don't think the Dolphins are winning. Because I think even... I have the feeling the Dolphins are so committed that even if they were ahead late in a game, they would, like, hand the ball off to the other team to run the other way. I think they're that committed to tanking. And I'm sure, based on how Kalen Ballage played yesterday, he'd be more than willing to do it. Like, he looked like he was already doing it. So, yeah, you can try to tank, and there's multiple, you know, high-level quarterbacks that are going to be available. But I don't know that they're bad enough to be in that conversation. I think there's so many bad teams.
All right, game coming up tonight. What do you think? Browns, 6.5, taking on the Jets. 79% of the cash on the Browns, 76% of the tickets on the Browns. Jets at home. At home, getting 6.5, up from 2.5.
I actually love the Jets in this spot. I just think they're going to keep it close. I think it's going to be very low scoring, so the points will be even more valuable. And Demaryius Thomas is active, and it's only because Trevor Siemian was his quarterback in Denver, I believe.
Oh, yeah. The weapons are coming. Yeah. The weapons are coming. Except no Quinnen Williams, no C.J. Mosley either for the Jets. All right, we're all set up here for a big Monday Night Football party. We got plenty of swag, including some cool Raiders stuff. Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch is the site. Food and drink starts as low as $4, $5 on the one topping. Personal pizza. Enjoy the game. Jets and Browns on the way. Come see us at Green Valley Ranch.